Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Coach Dave live. That's why they call us Coach Dave live. We're live. We're not sitting in a studio every day, although usually we do, sitting in some studio, acting like we're important, directing traffic. We're live. I'm coming to you live from Louisville, or as they say down here, Louisville, Kentucky. My wife practicing her parallel parking as we speak. And so if all of a sudden we hear a crush, we'll know what's going on. You know, it's a funny thing. Louisville, I've always enjoyed Louisville, Kentucky for one reason. Now, my wife, yesterday, she wanted to go to the Louisville Slugger Bat Factory. And I'm thinking, what? You want to do what? But she wanted to. And then I said, why do you want to do that? She says, well, I like those little wooden bats that you get. I'm thinking, you can buy those at the mall. So anyway, I always like Louisville. Let me tell you a real quick story here. By the way, this morning I'm going to give you some on the street, live on the street, talk to some real good Christian warriors. As you guys know, your faith grows when you get out on the streets. We're in the front of the only abortion clinic, I believe, here in the state of Kentucky. And I'm announcing right now, probably, Michelle, you got playing. I'm getting dizzy in here. This is unbelievable. We have today a meeting with Matt Bevin, the governor of the state of Kentucky, at 10 o'clock today. We street rats. Can you believe this? We're having a private meeting with the governor. And I was thinking about if I tried to get a meeting with the governor of Ohio, John Kasich, I'd never be able to do it. And yet Matt Bevin's going to meet with us here. I'm going to stay in the car here till the light comes up. Matt Bevin, the governor, is going to meet with us. Because, you know, I told you this before. I'll get my rhythm here in a minute. My wife's got me all shook up here from trying to parallel park. Matt Bevin's governor of Kentucky because of the efforts we made with Kim Davis. We went down here whenever that was. We were down and we rallied the forces. And once we rallied those forces, they saw the tyranny of government. You remember, I've shared the story with you. We held that sign, show us the law or set her free. We rallied a bunch of people and supported Kim Davis. And those people elected Matt Bevin in a surprise election. He became governor of the state of Kentucky. So we get a chance to meet with him today. And then I had this other funny story about Louisville. My son, he and I don't always see eye to eye. Muhammad Ali was back in those days. You guys all remember that Thrill in Manila and Rumble in the Jungle and all that, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. He's from Louisville. In fact, there was a time in America when he was the world's most recognizable face. He was more recognizable than the president of the United States, any king, anything. Muhammad Ali, anywhere you go, anywhere in the world, hold a picture up, and people probably knew who it was. He was from Louisville, coined the Louisville Lip, Cassius Clay, before he became Muhammad Ali. So when I was a young kid, I admired him. Of course, my politics didn't make any sense, but I admired Muhammad Ali because of his courage. And even back then, as a young kid, I realized that this guy, he gave up everything for what he believed in. You know, a lot of us walk a walk and talk and don't walk the walk. He said, I ain't got nothing against those Viet Cong, and refused to go. And they stripped him of his heavyweight title. And I read his book, The Greatest, written by Norman Mailer. It was good. I really liked Muhammad Ali. And I didn't even understand what a Muslim was back then. Think of those days, guys, 70s, 75. What does that mean? What's a Muslim? Well, I was getting ready to come down here tomorrow, and I told my wife, I said, maybe we'll go by and we'll see the Muhammad Ali Museum, because they have one down here. And my son, who happened to be there the night we were getting ready to leave, said something kind of hit me right in the face. He said, what? So yeah, man, I always loved Muhammad Ali. I think I'll go by and see the museum. He said, Dad, what's wrong with you? So what do you mean? He says, that guy's a Muslim draft dodger. I didn't know what to say. I'm never without words. I didn't know what to say. Because he was. So maybe my son's getting it more than I realized. We gotta get this, don't we, guys? I understand that times change, and one of the mistakes that we make in our lives, and especially when we're trying to share the gospel with other people, we have to realize that they don't know what we know. See if I can turn this off. Yeah, it's not too bad. They don't know what we know. They don't come from the same perspective that we come from. And somebody would probably look at me and say, how could you possibly like Muhammad Ali? Well, you got to walk where I walk. You got to be where I've been to understand it. I think a lot of times we make that mistake. So I'm so excited to be down here in Louisville, Kentucky. And hey, Rich, Robert, we were talking last night, man. Two things I want to talk about this morning. Well, not two things, but right off the top of the bat. July 22nd through the 29th. 22nd through the 29th of July, we're coming back to Louisville, Kentucky for the Operation Save America event. And I would love to raise up 100 of us to be able to come. Because we're going to put on such a blitzkrieg in this city in regards to abortion. We've had this discussion before, guys. I'm going to put the phone down a little bit here. We need a win. We need a victory. Our team needs a victory. And as I read yesterday in the commentary that I wrote, it's time to go for the juggler. For a very short period of time, I believe, to be able to really execute a victory here. The left is, they're going flaming crazy, as you can tell. And we have an opportunity to step up and really make a difference. We need to go for the juggler now and demand not Planned Parenthood be defunded. We need to demand the end of abortion in America. And then as we begin to lob off one thing after another, you think, if you just give some thought to it, it was in 2001. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm doing it from memory. In 2001, the Supreme Court ruled that homosexual sodomy was no longer a crime. That's 2001, I think it was. 2001. And it wasn't long after that, it was 2004, that Mitt Romney legalized homo marriage in Massachusetts. 2004. 2001, they legalized homos. 2004, Mitt Romney legalized the marriage in California, I'm sorry, in Massachusetts, even though he tried to deny it. In 2004, we put an initiative on the ballot in Ohio, the marriage amendment, which passed by about 68%. That was the election of George W. Bush, the second time, I believe. We pushed that amendment through. Amendments went all across America against homo marriage. 2004, amendments everywhere. And guys, from 2001, when they legalized homos, it took them only 15 years to make homo marriage legal. That is a breakneck speed. When you think about oh my goodness, back when I was a kid, I never even heard of a homo. I didn't even know what it meant. I remember my mom and dad one time were having a discussion in our home, and mom mentioned to my dad that our neighbor was a bato. Now, I didn't even know what that meant. Bato? I said, Mom, what's a bato? I'm about 17 years old. She says, a bato. It's hard to explain, but it's a man who loves men. That's a bato. I said, where'd you learn that term? She says, I don't know somewhere, but it's a bato. So I'm 17 years old and I never even heard of a bato. I'd never even heard of a homosexual. I'm telling you the truth. And I experienced my first homosexual. Not me. That sounded awful. I met face to face my first bato when I went to Otterbein College in 1972. Otterbein had a great theater department. And all those theater weirds, as we called them, all of them were homos. 1972 was my first introduction to homos. And who would have ever believed that after 6,000 years, at least that we know of, that homosexuality would not only become legalized, but we'd get married. That's where we are, man. They went at breakneck speed. Now, there is a revolution taking place here in the good old U.S. of A., and it's a pushback that's coming. And we're going to have to amp up. We're going to have to marshal all of our forces. We have to do everything we can to try to turn the tide in this event. But I'm still convinced we could do it. Got an email from my good friend, Colonel Tim, up there in Oregon. You listening, Rich? He says, we need an event. We need to call play. Now, I don't want to discuss that play here publicly until we get it all figured out. But we do. And I noticed when we got back from D.C. last week, the next day we got back, there were some guys that were dangling from a crane in Washington, D.C. Did you guys see that? They drew attention. We need to call a play that's going to draw the attention of the world. And as Tim said in his email, we have to do something that's going to draw the attention of Joe Sixpack. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Joe Sixpack's with us. Those are the ones that are elected Trump. And all they're looking for is somebody or something they can get behind, some movement that they can get behind. And the left, the hard left right now, they are really pushing the envelope. And I'm telling you, four dead in Ohio. We're going to see it again in America. And I don't know how it's going to happen and who's going to do it. There's going to be violence in the streets as sure as I'm sitting here. And it's going to happen sooner rather than later. And I want to make it very clear that I'm not about grabbing a gun and going out and shooting people. I'm not for that. But at the same time, I'm not about going out and getting shot. Does that make sense, Rich? I'm not about going out and being in target practice. Just not going to let it do it. So I just want to encourage you down here at that we call this a leadership meeting at Operation Save America last night. We had about 100 people in the room. First meeting was last night. More and more of them are coming in today. So July 22nd through the 29th, I'd love to be able to get an army of men. Tim, jump in here a little bit, and without giving any details, just kind of share with everybody what you thought, what it was that you put in that email yesterday.
Well, you know, there's enough men in America. I'm just going to call them the rednecks of America. I mean, I'm in Oregon, and then when I was raised in Oregon, we were all lumberjacks, cowboys, guys like this. Then Oregon got swept up by Californians. All these California people started moving in. And now the Portland area is covered with liberal gays, homosexuality, the far left. And there's just thousands of us sitting out here. We don't know what to do. I was talking with a guy the other day. He said, you know, Tim, I don't know what to do. And I said, you know what? Let's get a sign and let's go march. There's a bunch of guys out there that have black hoods on. And he says, yeah, but they might get in our face. And I'm afraid I'd punch the hell out of them. And I said, yeah, exactly. You know, that's all you need is a couple of these guys get in your face and push you. And before you know it, we've got 10 or 20 of these guys on their back. And we're just walking down with a wide open circle. Anyway, my point was, it's time for everybody like us to get together and do a pushback. Some kind of a pushback. We need a purpose and a reason for.
Tim, here's the point. We're not looking for any violence, but I'll be daggone if the streets belong to the left. The streets don't belong to the left.
They're hoods. Look at they cover their faces. They're hoods.
Right.
Call them what they are. They're hoods.
I've never been I've never done an activity since I've been a street activist. I've never done an activity hiding my face ever. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of what I do. I'm not ashamed of the way that we do it. I don't care if they know who I am. And we look at these anarchists. See, men's love darkness. Light came and men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. We're seeing it right now, again, that under the cover of darkness, these evil deeds are being done by these evil men. Now, I'm not saying let's get a 12-gauge and walk down the street and get a nightstick and beat up on these guys. That's not what I'm saying. But, guys, the battle's in the streets. Rich, are you with me? Help me out here.
Hey, Coach.
Battle's in the streets, hey. Brother.
Hey, Dave, Robert and I is coming up with a game plan we're going to talk to you about next week.
Good.
I mean, we're all on the same page here.
Yeah, because you know what? I don't care what it was. I was listening to Michael Savage 2 days ago. And I actually said this about 3 days ago before that. But Michael Savage said the same thing I said about May 4th, 1970, four dead in Ohio, the killings at Kent State. Now, nobody's glad that happened. It was a terrible tragedy. Most people don't know this. I'm from Ohio, so I know. In fact, I taught with this, a guy at Mount Vernon High School years ago who was actually the first one, the first person to one of the girls that was killed. He was walking to class. The four people got killed. They weren't even involved with any protests. They were walking to class. And that hail of bullets was fired by the National Guardsmen, and nobody knows who fired him. And they fired it. Evidently, they fired it above the heads of the kids that were protesting and hit people out in the parking lot, killed four of them. My buddy Kent was the first guy to one of them. And say what you will, there was never another campus protest after that. We're coming to that again. Listen, Right Wing Watch, I'm going to say this right now. Right Wing Watch, if you cut this tape, I'm giving you fair warning. If you cut this tape and make it look like I'm for violence, I'm going to sue you, okay? I'm going to tell you that right up front. You're free to run every word that I say, but I'm making it very clear that we're not violent. We're not going to go out. We're not going to try to hurt people, okay? Let's make that very, very clear. But at the same time, I'm giving fair warning that violence is coming. And the violence is not being initiated by us. The violence is being initiated by the other side. And the question that we're going to have to answer is, do Christian men have an obligation to make sure that the streets are safe? What do you think, Sarge? Do we have an obligation to make the streets safe?
Well, it's a tough subject.
It is. That's why we need to talk about it, because it's going to be upon us.
And we have an example. Nehemiah, you got the sword in the one hand for defensive purposes. You got your building blocks in the other hand. We're not to sit there and just build walls to hide behind. We're there to defend for what's right.
So, Larry,
if anybody doesn't understand that, I'm sorry, you're just plain wrong.
So, Larry, four months from now, when the weather gets warm and they come marching down my street throwing rocks at my house, am I supposed to sit there and let them do it?
Absolutely not.
See,
and they're not going to stop. They have invested themselves this time. They have trapped themselves by the words of their mouth. They are all in on this push, this series of attacks. They are all in. If we don't get all in defense, we've had it.
You know, Larry, that's true, but laws aren't just defensive. They are offensive as well.
Yeah.
We can use that to our advantage.
You know, Rusty Thomas.
Coach, you know what got me? Was looking at that girl who was standing out there, and he hit her on the head with a stick.
Yeah.
And then they sprayed her with mace.
Right.
And then while she was bent over, somebody came up and hit her twice. And I thought, if I was standing there and a girl got hit from behind with a stick, and then she got maced by some guy in a mask, I would have gone crazy. You don't hit girls, plain and simple.
Well, Tim, it's even worse than that. And I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Out in Berkeley, California, basically, the police were in a stand down mode. And why are the police ordered in a stand down mode? It's because the left at the universities are in agreement with the riots. They are
think
in
Baltimore.
Agreement.
Stand down mode, think Baltimore.
Baltimore, same thing. So what we're seeing is lawlessness in the streets. And we want the police to do their job. But what happens when they're not doing their job, see?
Hey, Rich, when I say defense, like I said, it doesn't mean build walls and hide behind them. Defense, the best defense in football is what, Coach? A good offense.
Right. Yep. Right, I'm in agreement with you, Larry.
See, I'm just saying, guys, we got to think this. We got to think about this, because I'm telling you, it's coming our way. You know, Rusty said something last night. Let me tell this story, then I'm gonna get out and get us some good interviews here. Rusty made this point last night, and I guess I had thought about it, but never really to that degree. Rusty said, we better realize that those anarchists and those, call them whatever you want to, that crowd we saw in Washington, D.C.,
We have to realize that they think, they believe in salvation. We believe in salvation by the blood of the Lamb. They believe in salvation by the arm of government. You understand that? They think they're righteous, and the only way the righteousness can be enforced is through laws, rules of the government. And so just as we are conditioned to see people saved by the blood of the Lamb, they are conditioned to see people saved through government programs. They are every bit, if not more, as religious and committed to their religion as we are. See, we think religion has to take place inside of a church. We think it has to be something that has to do with something spiritual. No, these are secular saints. They're secular saints. And they think that the only way the world can be purified is to shut up a guy like Rich, and shut up a guy like Sarge, and shut up a guy like Coach Dave, and not allow us to say bad things, that they will bring salvation to the world through secular means and secular laws. See, I've never really looked at it to that depth, but guys, that's really what we're dealing with. That's really what we're dealing with. And so they are every bit, if not more, as committed to their secular religion of government regulations and programs and snowflakes and don't say bad things and be tolerant and be diverse. They are more committed to that than the average Christian is to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say, Coach, I never thought about that way. I never thought about it. They are almost willing to die for that lie. They think it's true. Rich, you saw that when we were in Washington, D.C. Those marching women and those sissy men think they are right. And they think the world would be better if we were not part of it. So they want a secular salvation through programs, laws, and silencing certain types of speech.
Acceptance.
Does that change the whole perspective? And so, Rich, I ain't changing my faith. I'm going to die for my faith. Hey, Rich, so will some of them.
Hey, Coach.
Remember, Jesus told us the day would come when they would kill you and think they do a good thing. Man, oh, man. Oh, man, are we there?
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I think it's important to remember that these folks and their worldviews are typically either humanists or secular humanists or scientific materialists. And so from that perspective, it harkens back to the original lie. Humanism basically says man is God. We get to choose what's right and wrong. We get to choose what's best. It's our path. It's our way. And that is right back to the garden. So we know where that comes from.
Steve, that's very well said. It's very well said. And see, they don't view it as a religion. See, they don't view it, and that's why they call the separation of church and state. And that's why they don't have religion in our schools. Well, see, that's a big lie, because there is religion in the schools. There's religion everywhere in our society, and we saw yesterday, as we discussed about it a little bit, Donald Trump is trying to free up Christians to be able to speak again. And does that show you how upside down we are? That the government's going to grant us our religious freedom, that our right to be able to speak and call sin sin comes from government. I got to tell you guys, that really is what most people think. I'm looking at my clock
Coach,
here. Go ahead, please.
The reason the left is so bold is they don't believe that there's an afterlife. And
that's right.
I told somebody yesterday, when you're willing and you believe in your God and the afterlife, or whatever it is you believe in, I believe in Jesus Christ, it is real true freedom. Because when you, in your being, totally 150% believe that there's something better than what we have right here, then you're willing to meet and do and stand up for your God and your brothers and your sister. That's why they're so bold, because they think this is heaven, And they got to make it heaven now because there's no afterlife. We as Christians supposed to believe that after we draw our last breath here on this earth, then we are going to be in paradise. We're going to be in the association of holiness and of God. And we don't truly believe it, because if we believed it, we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in right now. So until you get the liberating freedom and courage, we won't never be able to, you know, overcome them. So like Big Rich and I talked this week, when I get to heaven, I don't want to just get in there by the skin.
That's right. Don't want to just slide in before they shut the door, do you?
No, sir. I want a VIP pass to where there's a party going on down on 17th Gold Street, and Moses and Samson and King David and Jesus and them are having a party. And I want the VIP pass so I can go and sit with them.
Yeah, and that big angel standing at the gates, and he blows out a horn. Dun, 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 dun. Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Sellers!
Yeah, for my God and Savior, you know? I don't want to have to stand at the back of the line. When I walk through there, I want to be sitting around a table of holy men and say, "And when that, let's start comparing scars." Amen. Amen.
Hey, I'm climbing out of the car here. I'm in downtown Louisville. Here's what I don't have my eyes on the clock, so somebody help me here. I just want to give you guys a flavor of what we got down here. I'm going to turn my camera the other way. This is the front of Johnny Bikin's truck. I don't know if you can see this or not. I walk along the side of it. This is what we do when we're out on the streets. And here, Johnny's got a picture of, there's a little baby in a palm of a hand. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. On the back of the truck, Johnny's got, it says warning, and then lists all the people who aren't going to make it. Pleasure lovers, lustful men, proud, LGBTQ, liars, rock stars, disobedient to parents. That's all in the back of Johnny's truck. The other side's got abortion, and I'm going to walk over here and show you the famous Johnny Bikin.
Hallelujah.
Hey, Johnny, glory, we're live around the world here, Johnny. Where are you from?
J.S., Mississippi.
J-A-Y-E-S-S. J.S., Mississippi. Hey, Johnny. Are you crazy? What are you doing out here?
I'm crazy about Jesus.
And you got this thing you call the Truth Truck. Tell us what you do, Johnny.
Well, just drive around the country, and we can change the message on there, and just let the people know about Jesus and that and sin, and the wages of sin is death. So we gotta get the message out and let them know that abortion can't be tolerated in our country because we love Jesus. We're a God-fearing country. And if we're going to call abortion murder, we may as well stop doing it then, right?
So, Johnny, when you go to a place like this, were you excited to get down here, Johnny?
I was. Very
why,
excited.
Why, brother? Why?
Not only because of the fellowship of the saints, but I like just bombarding the devil and letting them know that there's a real presence of God is more powerful. And
because the righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. Right, Johnny? Right. Hey, Johnny, see all those guys down at the bottom? They're giving you a thumbs up. You don't have your glasses on.
All right.
They're watching
the
by the
I
hundreds,
can't see too good this morning.
But early, too.
Good coffee, yeah.
All right, buddy. God bless you, Johnny.
All right. God bless you.
Now, I'm going to walk around the front here, show you what Johnny's got on the front of this sign. He's standing right here on the street corner. Johnny's winning friends and influencing people here today with his abortion truck, which I didn't get to show. I'm going to try to cross over the street here, get over and let you see some more of these God fearing. I can see I'm coming across now to front of the abortion clinic. There's all kinds of people standing here on the corners. There's David. David, where are you from, David? You're live around the world.
Sunny Seattle.
He's from sunny Seattle. And he's out. Hey, Rich, how about this? Tim, we got another left coaster here. He's out here. He's come from sunny Seattle to Louisville, Kentucky. What make you come here, David?
Jesus and little babies.
Huh? Say that again,
Jesus,
David.
Jesus and little babies.
Jesus and little babies.
Life is precious and beautiful.
That's right, brother. And this happens to be a guy who not only says it, but he walks. Thanks, David. There's a sign he's holding again. Winning friends and influencing people with this sign out here in front of the abortion clinic. There's a death squad. We see running to these ladies, these wicked ladies here. So I hope I'm just giving you a little bit of a flavor of what's going on here. You can see, hey, listen, I can't hear real good. These are the most unbelievable, loving, caring people that you will ever meet that are out here today. Now, they look scary. Johnny Burkeen looks scary with that beard. By the way, here's the other side of his truck. I'm on the other side of the street now. Abortion. Wages of sin is death. So you hear in the background, there is street preaching going on. So just bear with me a minute as I walk down through this and you'll be able to hear what's going on. You're going to hear Andre preaching, playing music, and then you'll see, folks, I'm just doing this for people who've never been here, never understand what's going on, okay? Andre, I want to talk to you in a minute, okay? I'm going to walk you by here, folks. Now, this is the clinic. This is what happens when we come out from the clinic. These ladies here, they're what we call death squads. And they're here to escort the women who want to go in and kill their babies. We stand out. We see there's six of them out here today. We're right on the street. And then we stand out here like this brother, old fine. He's got he does a little bit of street preaching, like we see as well. It's about 7:30 or so. Here's some more of our friends, the Death Clinic, Death Sports. Our faithful is Vanessa from Ohio. She's here. Down here's some women here. We need women at the clinic. It really matters. There's my sweet little Michelle. Say hi to all the guys.
Hi, guys. God damn. The weather is warm.
And so, you know, they love to accuse us of being haters, but
you're Kelly, you know her kid.
About that. Now listen, here's what they say. Kelly, they say, listen, why do you bring those kids out there? They shouldn't be seeing those pictures. What are you doing? What kind of mom are you?
Well, we tell them that, you know, we can love our kids and we wanted them to see what kind of evil's in the world and how to combat it. And we were told that we should leave them at home watching cartoons. And I told them they see enough depravity here and they need to see what real life is.
They understand that, don't they? Okay, you know, we took our little granddaughter and I took my little granddaughter. Let me go over here. Reese, I first took her to the abortion clinic. Well, I'm looking. Here's the signs that they're holding, by the way. And I took a picture of little baby Malachi. I'm going to walk over here so that you understand what I'm talking about. I showed this. Hey, Dale, Pastor Dale. I showed my little niece this little baby right here, this little Malachi. You guys see that? I showed my five-year-old granddaughter. I'm sorry, not niece. That picture. And I said, honey, they do this to babies. They hurt babies. And she understood it. She wasn't traumatized. She understood it. Pastor Dale, a bunch of your good buddies there,
hey,
man.
Hey, brother, how you doing? Hey, guys, how y'all doing? God bless you all. We love you guys. We come at your prayers. Please intercede and pray for us where you're at right now as we are at the gates of hell, the altar of Molech in the city of Louisville, Kentucky. It's cold out here, but the fire of God is hot in our soul, and so we're stirring it up down here. I thank God for coaching and all the ministry that he does and helps and everything, and he is a blessing. I don't know if he shared any of that king cake with you.
Nah, he brought some king cake from last night. All that running I've been doing to lose all this weight. Dale tried to screw me up last night. I had a little bit of king cake. If you've never had it, you understand it for sure. Hey,
in Louisiana, we have this motto. You know, in the world is we have to eat to live. In Louisiana, we just live to eat.
I'm with that. As long as it ain't those crawdads. Thanks, Dale. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Dale.
Now, George, is George with us today? I don't think George is with us today. I was going to show George a couple people here from Tulsa that he was who go to the clinic in Tulsa. There you hear a little bit of street preaching. Just let you listen to this a little bit.
But in fact, this morning you're being given over to a debased mind to believe things that are not true, to do things that are utterly wicked and in opposition to God's law. See, that's the problem. You guys get angry at us for standing out here and saying that abortion is murder. But the reality is, this isn't our law.
Okay, guys, I'm walking down the street here. I got to run over here soon to get a sweatshirt on. Hey, come here, man, Ante. Hey, guys, this is one of my favorite people in all the world. This is Ante. Ante's from North Carolina. Ante,
whoa.
You see those guys down at the bottom? We're live. These guys are all in the queue with us. They're all listening right now. That's Steve. They're listening to us all across the world right now.
Awesome.
Ante, what makes a guy like you come out here and do this?
Well, when I got saved, I knew I had to tell everyone about Jesus. And so that's the major impetus. But as far as abortion is concerned, I'm not a protester. I am not a picketer. The Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. And because I love God, I love these babies. And I cannot come up with a good reason not to come out here. There's no excuse. I must love my neighbor in a tangible way. And coming out here and presenting Jesus Christ as the answer rather than abortion and rebuking sin in the public square is something we as just regular Christians must do. And if we do that, abortion will end in the United States when Christians rise up and say that's enough. It's our Christian duty to be out here.
Amen. Now, Aunt, I'm going to shift gears with you real quick.
All right.
It's cold here down here. Isn't it?
It is.
We're in Kentucky. It's supposed to be warm. Ante, you do the best job of anybody that I know of explaining the law, the ceremonial law. Could you take a couple minutes to just explain why when people come up to you out on the streets and say, oh, yeah, well, you eat shellfish
right. And
you wear mixed threads in your – what's that all about?
Well, they try to misuse the Old Testament to confuse us. If we study the Bible, we find out that the law has three components in the Old Covenant. There's the ceremonial law. There was the civil law that governed Israel, like our constitution and state laws govern us. And then there's the moral law. So when they bring these things up, what they're appealing to is the Mosaic covenant, which had ceremonial, priestly, temple aspects. And it also had civil laws for the children of Israel of that time to govern themselves. Those are not valid for today. But what we find throughout the Bible, before Moses, during Moses, and after Moses, is the moral law of God. It was always wrong to steal. It was always wrong to rape. It was always wrong to commit murder. It was always wrong to worship idols and not be true to the one true living God. So if you can explain that to people, that the law has three divisions, ceremonial and civil, that pertains uniquely to Israel and their temple worship and their life in Israel. But there's the moral law that was also tied in with that, but it transcends all dispensations, all times. So 9 of the 10 commandments still apply because they're the moral law. It's the Sabbath that I believe in scripture is optional based on your conscience, and it's not something we fight over.
Yeah.
Does that help?
That's right. So when somebody goes to say, well, do you eat shellfish? It's like it's ridiculous. It has nothing to do. They're comparing eating a shellfish with murdering a baby.
Right.
Murdering a baby has always been wrong. Right, Ante?
Right. And it's funny because where they find these prohibitions in the book of Leviticus, I always ask them, where is that written? Leviticus. What's the book of Leviticus about? Well, it's written to Levites, to priests, primarily on how to dress, conduct temple worship, how to receive sacrifices. So I asked them, what are you doing quoting that book? It's the book written to priests on how to perform the priesthood. And then I tell them, but just so you know, in that book of Leviticus, we're also told to love your neighbor as yourself. So if you don't like the book of Leviticus, if you think, you know, eating shellfish shouldn't be done because they're saying you eat shellfish, you're transgressing that. They're actually implying that's not for today. Okay, if it's not for today, then by the same argument, I don't have to love my neighbor as myself either, because that's found in the book of Leviticus. So clearly they don't know how to rightly divide the word, but we are commanded as believers to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen.
Guys, that's why I love coming to OSA, because there are people here smarter than me, huh? It's amazing. Thanks, Ante.
All right.
God bless you. I'm gonna mosey on down. Anybody have a comment or a question before I go to somebody else here? I don't know. I'm not trying to hog everything today. Hang on here. Cal Zastro.
Missions. You're
on the air around the world, Cal.
What are you folks doing at home sitting watching your computers? bunch of you. We just invite you to come on out to the street and join us in lifting up Christ and rebuking sin and rescuing babies and confronting the gates of hell peacefully. You're all invited to come join us. Coach will tell you where we're at. You just all come.
Hey, Captain, take us here for a minute. You've raised your family doing this, right?
Yes.
And people in church say, oh, Cal, that's the worst thing to do with those kids. They're not going to be normal, yada, 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 yada. And now that you're
normal,
kids, now that you're
normal,
kids,
normal is staying home watching sports and puttering around and letting babies die. That's normal. So I want to be Christian. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's good. That's good. And so now that you look, it's crazy. The word says if you train up a child the way he should go, when he gets old, he won't depart from it. Your kids haven't gotten old and rebelled. And they're out drinking and chasing women. They're not doing that.
No, they're serving the Lord. In fact, it's Friday morning right now, and my oldest son is in front of the Kalamazoo, Michigan Planned Parenthood preaching the gospel. My second youngest son, he was out in Spokane, Washington when they were killing earlier this week. And so our kids are just serving the Lord and doing good. And let's just have a fight with the devil and love people and end abortion. Let's just do it right now. Let's Amen. Trust God. Amen. Come on.
In fact, Cal, let's change that word normal, huh?
Normal.
Yeah.
Normal.
We don't want to be normal. I ain't normal.
No, normal people go to hell.
Let's just
go to heaven.
There you go. I got to tell you something. I'm starting to freeze. Did anybody want to say anything? I'm sorry. I got to step away from the music so I can hear you. Anybody?
Keep going, Dave.
I'm not getting any. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Because I seem to be frozen. Oh.
And there it is.
You know what? I got to figure out a way to get retired or get some money, because out here in the Northwest, it's 4 a.m. in the morning, and I got a couple hours, so I got to get ready for work. I got to figure out how I can go do something.
Anybody else got anything? Any feedback? Any words?
Man, I'm sorry, guys. I froze up on you there. I don't even. Did you get to hear any of that Cal interview at all?
Yeah, we heard it.
No? You did hear it? Good. Got froze up on there. I'm going to try to grab another one. Anybody have anything just before I go any further and grab another guy?
Sorry, I'm not there with you, Dave.
Yeah, once you've been here, it makes your heart burn a little bit, doesn't it, to want to get back here?
Yeah.
But I'm gonna come over here real quickly and interrupt somebody. Hey, let me interrupt you guys. Doc Johnston. There's Dr. Patrick right here, from family physician from Zanesville, Ohio.
How you doing?
Brought all of his family out here again. Where are they this morning, by the way, Doc?
They're at the hotel. I got a couple ill ones.
Be a good place to
when
be.
When you get 10 kids, chances are one of them's going to be sick.
And for those of you who wonder, Doc is the – see, Doc, your wife's becoming famous. He's the husband of the activist mom. This is Doc Johnston, Doc and Elizabeth, and they're out here on the streets in Louisville as well. I don't know.
We're losing you, Coach.
Man, there's so many fires around this country, you don't know which way to run, you know?
I don't think we even know what to do. There's so many things going on in every single city. We need some kind of a trumpet call. We need some kind of somebody to shoot an arrow in the sky to tell us where to go.
Coach, if you turn off your video, it might work better. You can't hear me. Well, don't you run where the fire's hottest? Isn't that how that works?
Exactly. Exactly.
Makes sense.
See, my only question is, Jared, is that what about all the people that have to work? There's got to be a way we can, you know, analyze this and put together a plan of action.
Well, it's a question of motivation. You can go out. Here's the thing. People go out and they go to the movies on Friday night, or they go to the movies on Saturday afternoon. And why? Okay, why not go to the abortion clinic? It's just as fun. It's actually more fun than going to the movies. You know, it's a change of perspective. That's
exactly. Now you just put a plan of action together. You just clarify it, and that's what we need, is to clarify the goals.
We want as many people as possibly can to come. I'm going to try to walk back the street so we can do a little bit of more dialogue and give and take. And for some reason, before the cops are starting to show up, that always shows that we got them pigs.
I'm going to try to get back over to
my car where I can have a little bit more dialogue. But for some reason,
anybody else got anything? We got 15 minutes. Keep it going. Somebody preach.
Come on, Kevin. Come on, Kevin. Get up there.
Hey, one thing that I think at least two of the people mentioned that Coach interviewed, they talked about loving your neighbor. And those who listen to this program regularly know that that is one of the several verses in our Bible that the world has totally misconstrued. And they relate loving your neighbor to loving those little children who actually, I do believe, fit into the proper category of neighbor. But the context that those people quoted, oh, we love our neighbor, we love our neighbor, it was clear from their demeanor and the way they were saying it that they feel obligated to love everybody in the world. And the loving those little children is fine because those little children haven't reached an age of decision making. They haven't decided against Jesus yet. So, they are our brother and sister. I believe there's a verse in Psalms that talks about that David, the Holy Spirit had David write that he knew that he was going to meet his child that died right after birth. Because, you know, that children aren't held accountable at that point in their lives, especially in the womb. It's the mothers that condemn them to death, not the children's actions in the womb. So loving your neighbor is definitely appropriate there. But those who listen to this program regularly fully understand that when we start trying to apply that in our minds and in our hearts to the whole world, then we lose the impetus and I believe the power to act according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because I believe that when you start throwing God's love onto the world, you are not fulfilling the greatest commandment, that is to love the Lord your God with all of your love. And the only way your neighbor fits into that receiving love is when they are part of the body of the Lord. That's the only way those two verses can possibly line up with each other.
Hey, Larry, though, I guarantee you, Cal's Astro ain't loving them Descorts.
No, and listen, First of all, let me apologize. My phone went totally dead. I'm back in my car, charged it back up. But remember, don't ever forget this, folks. His love's available to him.
Amen.
Cal will preach the love of Jesus to those death sorts. But he is smart enough to understand that those folks are the enemies of the cross. They're the enemies of the cross. In this foolishness that we're supposed to love the enemies of the cross, the way that we're supposed to love our brethren. Guys, that didn't even common sense. That didn't even common sense that we're supposed to do that. Now, the love's available. We'd love for them to come and be part of the family of God. But apart from Christ, the wrath of God is abiding upon them. I want to apologize that I got cut off over there. In fact, I don't even know parts of that broadcast, what you got and what you didn't get. I hope you got Cal and Patrick, and I could be talking to a lot more out there, but you get the flavor for what's going on. Okay, got a caller. Go ahead, hang on. Get him up there, Larry.
Okay, Jeff's on the phone from Ohio.
Okay, hang on a second. Hang on, Jeff. I just wanted those who are watching the show who've never seen what goes on at an abortion clinic, I want you to be able to experience it firsthand to see what it's like. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, man?
Hey, Coach, I wish I was with you down there this week.
No, you don't. It's too cold.
It's cold here. Hey, just let the guys know I've been on probably at least six of the MOSA events in the summertime. And they are great events to go to. And like you were saying this morning about getting a game plan together, well, my game plan for this weekend is going to be, since I can't be down there in Louisville this weekend, we're going to have probably 100 protesters on the public square in Mount Vernon. And I rounded up at least six guys that have never done anything before. I just asked them to come with me. I said, we're going to go down. We'll get the bullhorn out. We'll get the Bible out. I'm even going to take the Quran down so I can read them some of the evil out of the Quran of what they're standing for and the love of all these Muslims. So that's where we'll be this weekend. And I think many of us have places in our little towns where there's little protests going on. Just go out, hit something in your local area within a half hour, an hour drive, and go stand against the enemy for right now until we get a master plan put together. But that's what we're going to be doing here in Ohio this weekend.
Jeff, we got to do, we got to come out, man. We got to come out of the closet, and we have to go out, and we have to engage the enemy. And the truth is, some of us will engage the enemy in different ways than what others will. But the fact remains, whether you're in Mount Vernon, Ohio, whether you're in Granite City, Iowa, whether you're in Ashland, Maine, you walk outside your door, there's a lost world out there. And we are called to contend, earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. Now, understand this. When we're called to contend for the faith, that contending for, listen, don't miss this. Remember, the book of Jude, he's talking to believers. And when he talks in the book of Jude, he's saying earnestly contend for the faith. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about earnestly contend for the faith with those who are your brothers. Why? Because evil men have crept in unawares, right? He's talking about the watering down of the gospel of Jesus. And I do, Jeff could tell you that right there in Mount Vernon, Ohio, there are pastors who are watering down the gospel, telling you, Jeff, that you are a fool and crazy, and you make Jesus look bad when you go out to the streets. Is that true or not?
That's true, but I did call a pastor, and because I told him, I said, they're putting ads in the newspaper now for every Saturday at noon, come to the public square. So he actually, Pastor Roger Tickle, said he's putting out a call them all and tell his people in his church, come on down there with him. He's coming down with me. And we're going to go down to East End, so I don't know how many we've got to show, but I got at least six right now. So we might be six against 100, but that'll be good numbers for us.
We were 20 against 400,000, were we, Robert? 20 of us against 400,000, and we held our own ground. Hey, bless you, Jeff, man. Thanks for calling in and joining us here. Hey, guys, we're winding down here. Got about 6 or 7 minutes left. Anybody got anything you want to jump in here with? July 22nd through the 29th, please, Tim, get that on your schedule. Get you and your wife, get down there. Look, you don't have to come for the whole week. You can come for parts of it. But it is on-the-street activity like we're doing right now. Then in the evenings, we have revival services every night, and you will meet the most unbelievable, God-fearing people that you could ever have imagined in your life. People who are normal people who are sold out for the cause of Christ. July 22nd through the 29th. And we're rounding up something. We got, hey, Sarge,
take just a minute for those who might not know what we're going to do down in Texas in June. Would you share a little bit of that, Sarge?
Yeah, we're working on trying to put a boot camp together June 22nd through the 25th, Thursday night, arrive in the Dallas area, leave Sunday mid-morning, and we're hoping to get a couple of folks, potentially Rusty Thomas from OSA, and hopefully maybe Matt Truella, if he can come down and talk about
it. They're both here, by the way. They're both here.
So make sure you get those dates to them so that they'll know. Maybe they can come. And it's going to be similar to our annual boot camp, but we're going to try to do some training while we're there, some street ministry, and really do some fellowship and try to get a good crowd. We'd like to get around 45, 50 people at least to show up, and it's a similar retreat center to what we did in Ohio.
What's the date? What's the date on that, Sarge?
June 22nd through June 25th.
25th through 25th of June.
It's in the Dallas area. It's a place called lhar.org. It's a retreat center if you want to look it up online.
Yeah, we'll get some information up.
This is the one that was tentatively thought might be in the Abilene area. It's now in the Dallas area?
That's correct. We couldn't make arrangements in Abilene.
So you'll get more information about it. But listen, I'm so encouraged. In fact, the people here at OSA who follow us on Facebook, I can't tell you the number of come up and say, Coach, what's going on with that group of men that you got gone? Saw all you guys in D.C. And then that one came up to me. See, this is the amazing thing. We don't even know who's watching this thing. We don't even know. I had one came up to me last night. And I said, Coach, but you never met me, but I want you to know I watch you every morning and yada, yada, yada. Guys, so listen, we're tapping into something in here, and we're tapping into godly men who understand the times in which we live and know what it is that Israel needs to do. In fact, we're getting us an offensive coordinator, and we're going to start running some plays rather than just sitting back and playing defense all the time. Got just about 3 minutes left here for my phone. Anybody want to jump in? When I say that, that means somebody jump in, my brain went dead.
You know, only thing I can think of is it is getting serious, and we have to get serious. We got to come out of the closets. We got to stand up no matter what it looks like and go for the jugular.
Amen. Amen. And you know what's going to happen eventually? Those churches are either going to fall in line and help, or they're going to die. They are the enemy is coming to us, brothers. The enemy's coming to us. We got to wake up and be prepared and get those around us to understand the times which we live and know what it is that we need to do. Michael Ortega, you've been quiet this morning, brother. What are you thinking there? You're still quiet.
I was listening to what you're saying, and that's the beauty of what you're doing is being on the street and doing it right, because that's what's needed. I was talking with Larry Nichols yesterday, and he was wondering what the coach was doing, and I told him that he's trying to stir the nation up and stir the church up to get us on the right track to know what we're supposed to be doing. We've got a short period of time to do some things this year to get us ready for that midterm election thing. But this is the way you do it, is you tell people the truth and you show it by what you're doing.
You know what? Thanks, Michael. Thanks. Listen, guys, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I want to tell you what separates what I do from what most people do. I ain't a pundit. I'm not a pundit. I'm not a Christian bureaucrat. I not only talk about this stuff and write about this stuff, I do this stuff. And you can say what you want to say about me and about my beliefs and whatever you want to. But, brother, we walk out what we believe. I don't just sit behind a microphone in the basement of my house and spew out the truth. I walk out what I teach. And to me, that's the greatest example of all. So we're down here today. Don't feel, somebody's going in there. Death scores, take one in there to murder, and they're ministered to him right now. This is a great place because you can get right up to him. Get him, Lord. Get him, Lord. Get him, Lord. Hey, I got to run. I'm going to put my jacket on, get back out there and warm up. We are meeting. Guys, think about this. We're meeting with Governor of Kentucky today. In 2 hours, he's come here and having a special meeting with us. Is that something? Is that something? See, think who Obama met with. Think of the scallywags Obama met with.
Coach, can you video that meeting?
Why wouldn't a Christian man want to meet with us?
Coach, video that meeting.
What's that?
I said videotape that meeting if you can.
Well, we got to see, you know they are. Make sure we get the approval to be able to do it. But I'm telling you, we're going to be there. We're going to be there meeting with the governor. Guys, the worm is turning in America, whether you see it or not. It's our turn now. It's our turn now, baby. It's time for the church to arise. God bless you guys. Wish you were all here. I'll see you Monday morning.